the Career Mindset Podcast with Fenya and Christina, the duet that is helping you thrive in your career and live a greater life.
This podcast is inspired by the UK-based Greek-certified career coaches Christina and Fenya. They met just before the coronavirus pandemic broke out in the world, and since then, they keep connecting weekly, discussing all things career and life. This is our attempt to share our insights with you.
Welcome to the Career Mindset Podcast. And today I've got a very, very special guest who is very close to my heart as well. Her name is Angela Chai. She's very exotic. She is of Taiwanese origin, Australian, but also connected to us somehow in London, of course, but with a Greek element too. She's married to a Greek and she has a very beautiful daughter. But we're not going to tell you all about that today. We're going to tell you about her being the CEO and founder of her brand and her company, the Grow Your Brand with Impact. And through this journey, although previously she has been a very successful consultant for Accenture, she has grown this brand and her path into helping people figure out what they're brilliant at and packaging it in such a way that people not only knock doors, but they knock down doors to come and get it from the people who have created those offers. So in normal terms, she's an offer coach. She helps people create offers, but she helps also people position themselves in a very crowded and noisy marketplace in a way that people understand what they do and they actually want to buy from them. Welcome, Angela. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for that beautiful intro. I'm really happy to be here.
Welcome, Angela. I'm excited for you to be here today with us, and we will talk. We have a great conversation today and a great topic on how to become an expert and unlock your financial success. Very interesting, and I'm curious to find out more about that. I'd like to say to you guys, if you like this episode, please give us your 5 stars, rate our episode and show us your love. And let's start, Angela. I'd like you to share with us your story. Christina said a lot of important things about your background, but I'd like to hear from you to share your own story and what inspired you to create your brand, Grow Your Brand with Impact. That's the name of the brand, right?
Yes, that's right. And I'll start off that it's a bit of a funny story behind the creation of the name. I think so many of these, when we talk to branding agencies and companies, a lot of them, they say, would you consider changing the name? I think a lot of, for a lot of them, it's quite a foreign concept to just have this sort of like sticking it out there, a very long name. But it's also created in a very intentional and purposeful way. And thank you so much for asking that question, because you know, really helped me to bring it back into the roots of why this all began in the first place. So I really like the idea of having a brand, a name of the company that basically just says what it does on the box, even if it can sound a little bit rough and raw, because that's the reality, right? A lot of our brands are very rough and raw in terms of, you know, the things that are inside. So Grow Your Brand with Impact, it was really inspired by the idea that each of us, we have the potential within us to create infinitely more impact, whether it's in our personal lives, it's in our careers, our business, or out in the broader society. So for me, throughout looking back and throughout my career, I've always been really fascinated by this subject of untapped potential. And if I think back at my career over the years, I definitely feel like there were many, many moments in my career that I felt like I was hiding. You know, even though on the outside, it seemed that things were going really well and I was climbing the career ladder and, you know, no one in my career would have ever described me as someone lacking confidence. But the thing is, when you leave that world, a lot of it is like this outward bravado of which you're hiding a lot of doubts and imposter syndrome and so on behind that. And these voices get amplified once we set out on our own. So I think over the years, you know, the meaning of the word, meaning of the name Grow Your Brand with Impact has also really evolved. So in the beginning, and I think this runs parallel actually to our journey in transitioning from a career to business, it's evolved in the beginning where it was much more impact for me was much more about like achievements and results and outcomes and so on, into something that I've only just recently been able to distill that it was actually very much around this concept of love and especially self-love. So growing your brand, which is this whole nurturing of you as a person, why are you special? Why are you valuable to the world? And doing so with impact, which is the way that we then express that love out into the world to help others. So that's the story behind Grow Your Brand with Impact. Now, in terms of my story, my fall into entrepreneurship was accidental, and Christina knows this story very well. But yeah, for me, my career was going very well at the time. I never imagined that I would leave my career and go and start a business. I was not one of these very woke people that were like, you know what, I'm going to leave this world and I'm going to follow a non-traditional path and start the business. But I knew that I felt restless. So like I said, I had always been, you know, having fascination with this idea of untapped potential. And that was something I felt throughout my career. And I took a risky decision, which backfired. And what that meant was overnight, everything that was stable in my life just was ripped under my feet. And I was suddenly without a job. I was suddenly without a source of income overnight. And it turned out to be the best thing ever because as you also know, the universe and life, sometimes it gives us things that are not necessarily the things we want or need in that moment, but it's actually, there's always like a reason behind it and everything sort of aligns in the end and comes out in the wash. So life gives you what you need. And in this space, I gave business a go. The business today isn't what it started 5 years ago. It's also evolved through that journey, what I shared with you before, with the evolution of the meaning behind Grow Your Brand with Impact. But that's a whole story on its own.
I absolutely know the story, and I don't know how long it took us to get you on the podcast, but I'm glad you're here because then we can hear the wisdom behind the transition you went through from corporate to solopreneur as well. And I wanted to ask you, how does then that brand of you, I guess, in this case, as you said, it was a growth of you as well as the business. And we'll go into the business at some point, but the brand of you evolved from your experience that you have gained in the corporate then and your career there through to giving you the resources, but also the courage to take the risk to start your own business, because there was something there that untapped potential became visible or clear to you at some point down the line. What happened there?
Yeah, great question. And I love how you frame it as when you mentioned that reflection of the growth of you. I think a lot of us, when we're in career, we don't really think about brand, personal brand, or like who we are as an expert and so on. Like in that sense, we just think about skills. We need to gain more skills so we can get a better job. So for me, the first time this whole thing of getting known, positioning your expertise and who you are as a person, that was something I can definitely credit to my time in Accenture. And while Accenture was very much this corporate environment, very much so, but what I did learn during that time in Accenture was about this organization that wasn't necessarily defined by traditional boxes in which, you know, you have like your department and you're part of this department and this is your job title. If you want another job title tomorrow, it's very easy. You can actually even, it's a space where you can even create your own. And I have this distinct memory of my first day at Accenture was induction. And there was a junior consultant that was presenting that session. And he said a piece of advice, which I always remember, and I think actually still carries with me, even in my business days, which is get to know what you can be famous for. Get to know what you can be famous for. And I was like, huh, I've never thought about it like that. I've never thought about what I can be famous for. You know, I was basically just my job title. And I think a lot of people, when they think of that, like, you know, firstly for me, I was like, get, you know what you can be famous for. And people think of things like, oh, like Kim Kardashian or like some other celebrity or like influencer. And I think that's the misassociation people often have when thinking about creating a brand around who they are or who they could be famous for. They think like, oh, I don't want to be a celebrity or an influencer and, you know, so on. But it's really about, for me, this positioning of who you are as an expert is really about knowing who you are at a deep level, so beyond your job titles and the external wrappers that are put around you, and really knowing at your core, what is your value? What is your value? Not your personal values, but what is your value to the world? And then being recognized for it. And I wish I knew more about this process when I was in my corporate career. I think that quite often our corporate careers, we're not actually ready to be in that space to be thinking about positioning our expertise in this way. We don't think about it as expertise. We think about it again as skill sets. What more can I add onto my CV that's going to make it even more impressive and make me even more employable? So, yeah.
So true. It's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So you have made the transition from corporate to solopreneur, right? So how does the brand evolve from your experience gained in your corporate career and through running your own business?
So how does the brand evolve from throughout my own brand into the business? I think for me, that process took quite a long time, if I'm honest. And when I think about the phases, I've realized that there's actually a few phases that happens even before you become, you create your brands within the business, because there's a lot of identity shifting that I think a lot of people, they underestimate that kind of internal emotional work that is happening alongside the entire external process of changing who you are, usually as presented on LinkedIn, because let's face it, that's kind of where we see our professional identity living, at least in the world of today. So for me, that journey went through firstly starting off as this careerist, you know, like I said, 5-6 years ago, if you said to me, I wouldn't be on the corporate ladder anymore, I would be running my own business and what it would be today, I'd say you're crazy. That's not me. That's not the pathway that I'm going after. And so it was this evolution from careerist to then leaving that world and realizing, oh my God, I've got all this experience under my umbrella of the things I've done over the years, and starting to realize I was actually a generalist, because there were so many things that I could do and so many keyholes that I could fit in. And then really refining that into what is going to be my corner of the world, what is going to be my niche and the thing that I was going to offer to the world, and then distilling that into why I'm actually so valuable in delivering that. So that's kind of that whole discovery of the actual expertise. So there's this evolution through those different shifts. And like I said, it happens alongside that external transition that everybody sees, you know, your website, your business card. That was like the first thing I did when I started my business, because that made me feel like I had a business. But the reality was it was just another kind of external thing on the outside to protect the fact that I didn't actually really have a clue who I was and what exactly my real brand around my expertise was. So, yeah, so I think that's really the journey. But I think the most important thing I want to mention, because I see so many people through the work that we do go back and forth on this journey, you know, they make the jump and they realize it's harder than they think and they go backwards a few steps, is the commitment. Because once you actually commit across those different phases, you know, you commit to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to leave behind this world that I've been in for pretty much my entire career up until now, and I'm going to fully go for this journey into business, which was a crossroad that I had to face early on in my journey. And Christina, in the beginning of the intro, you mentioned the word crossroad, where I had to make a decision to let go of pursuing a few opportunities and move from a place where I was thinking about this business more as like a holiday in between jobs and having some fun and playing, into actually something serious. Like, I have to make a living from this. So it's a real commitment, and lots of internal things that are happening in that shift.
Wow. Yes. And I think without the commitment, may I sound like Lao Tzu, the steps won't appear, right? And wow. Sorry, just realized I messed up all the questions before. So coming back to my question now. So what are the steps then from your experience once you committed that have revealed themselves, you know, for someone who wants to pursue a different type of career, in your case, the transition from corporate to solopreneur? And okay, you had skill sets, you said you were a generalist. How did you go about monetizing your corner of the world and actually making it so valuable that people wanted to work with you rather than with a big corporate, which you could still technically, you know, provide the same service under the banner of any Accenture, any consulting company, massive, global, and touches everything and every corner? Like, how did you do that? Because commitment is one thing, but what were the steps?
Yeah, so from commitment to monetization, great question. So, gosh, there's so much that we can unpack around that, because that entire evolution, like I shared in the previous answer, it wasn't an overnight one by far. And I think about what I was charging for what I was doing, like in the very beginning of my business, and I was just like, oh my God, you know, that's really telling in terms of the value that I associated with myself at the time. I would say firstly that it's hard for you to see that value for yourself most of the time, because like I said, you have all of this bravado and stuff that you carry on from your days in corporate, and just like, you know, like showing up in the room and standing, doing a presentation and looking confident and polished on the outside. But internally, you have all of this, you know, doubts and mess and all this, you know, inner voices that are happening. And especially people that I would say that are very career focused, because they're typically high achievers, they have that a lot, because that's also often what is explaining their inner drive, the thing that keeps pushing them and propelling them forward. So, you know, there's a lot to it, but, you know, in answering like how I was able to discover the value to monetize this in a way that I could create a living from it, firstly, I wasn't able to see this for myself. So I'll call that out, but it was definitely an evolution. But coming back to your question, which is around the steps, firstly, you need to be very clear on the reason that you are doing this transition. And, you know, like I said, very often you know, people jump into this because of multiple different reasons. In my case, it was something that, you know, was a risk that basically backfired, and, you know, that set me on this path. But that happens all the time in the career world. You know, people get made redundant, like overnight. You think you've got a job, and then the next day you go into work, and then suddenly it just, everything changes overnight. So the reasons around you making that decision and your decision around the commitment need to be very clear. And in my experience, there's typically four reasons that people choose to commit to that. There is the desire for a different type of lifestyle. So this whole, you know, time freedom and realizing that it's just no longer feeling rewarding to be locked into a traditional 9-to-5 type lifestyle. There is, of course, a desire that, you know, you feel capped in terms of your potential of what you can do, your potential in terms of what you can make. So yeah, again, you know, making more money sometimes is one of those as well. And, you know, the final one is really that there wasn't a choice. Like, life events happened and it sort of pushed you on this path and you just had to make it work. So knowing your reason is crucial, because that's going to shape the entire way that you build out what you build out, and also the type of business owner, if that's the path that you choose, or the way that you're going to monetize around your expertise. So yeah, and again, if it's something that's going to be more of an in-between, then it's going to be more about, you know, like looking for that next best position that you can position yourself for, whether that's in freelance. And yeah, but still thinking about this and gaining the clarity on it is going to help you to be able to expand, you know, the framing around your experience, your expertise, and essentially elevate your value. So the steps, number one, is to, you know, really spend that reflection time to be honest with yourself and know your reason. Like, there's no right or wrong and right or wrong answer to this, or one that's better or more superior than the other. It's just, you know, being honest with yourself and being honest with what you really want to gain out of it. Then the second one, and this is something that has been, I would say, accidentally implemented into the way that we work today with our community, but now looking and reflecting back on my journey, I've realized it's crucial, is to build your community. Because again, you know, earlier I talked about this like shift of identity as you go through all of the different phases. And when we leave that world, we're like a fish out of water. We don't really know who we are anymore. We're starting to have doubts like, oh my God, you know, maybe I just made a crazy decision. I've just like screwed up my entire life. I've jumped off the career ladder and maybe I can't get back and I've been working so hard and all of this stuff. But, you know, by building your community, it means that you get reconnected to new people, actually, people that are going through the journey with you. It starts to normalize. And when I say accidentally discovered in terms of how we work with our clients today, is in the beginning, we had this community element, which was meant to be like sort of just a plus. And I remember being part of these sessions and, you know, clients would be talking about their struggles and they would be saying like, oh, this just feels so hard. You know, I can't figure this out. And I would feel really bad. I would be thinking, I'm a bad coach. That's why they can't figure this out. That's why they're struggling. How do I help them to stop struggling? But what I wasn't taking into account was that that was their process. They needed to struggle. They needed to verbalize that struggle, and they needed to normalize that within the community space. And that was something that we repeatedly got back from people that we were working with, like, oh my God, just like listening to so-and-so go through her struggles, it made me feel better because it made me realize it's not because I suck. It's just a really normal part of the process. So that community, building your community is a crucial element to keep you on track. Then the third step is really about getting inspired. So, you know, starting to stretch your thinking. Like, quite often we're so used to, again, all of these external labels that get stuck on us. We get job titles, we get, you know, people telling us during performance reviews why you're good, and this is your score, your rating across like all of these different factors, and your salary package, like how much you're getting into your bank account every day. And we get I would say we get very tied to that as basically the limits around who we are as a person and our value to the world. So by getting inspired by, you know, seeing what is out there, seeing what is around you and seeing like, you know, oh, there can actually be a lot more, it starts to stretch your thinking. But it's important to not do too much of that versus your own kind of inner reflection, because sometimes that can also create a dynamic where you start to doubt yourself and start to think, oh my God, they're so far ahead and they're so good and I can never be like that. And, you know, the wording on their website sounds so perfect and I can never do that. So get inspired to stretch your vision, but know its place. And then as quickly as possible, start working on your own vision. And it's more about creating your space to develop that vision, to, you know, play with that vision and start to bring that out in terms of, you know, what that vision could be, what you're building out. And even if you're at this stage still in the place that you're still figuring out your identity, I always say that start working early on that vision. That vision isn't going to be something that you set in stone and it's locked in there forever and this is going to be your roadmap for the next 50 years. It's going to be something that you're just putting a stick in the sand right now. You're starting to, you know, spend that space to figure out you know, who you are and what you're reaching for. And this is going to continue to evolve as your identity also evolves and gets stronger in those transitions.
Wow. Amazing. So many important steps.
Four major steps. And you explained them very deeply. Thank you so much. This is like a whole process within each of them.
Yeah. I hope you guys took some notes on the steps so you can listen to the episode again. Let's move forward. And I'm really curious to know, this one step or this one specific way for someone who wants to start to position themselves and create their own personal brand? And if this change, maybe if they can make this change, if they're still in a career, either full-time or part-time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in creating this change, I see it as two parts, and they're quite distinct. The two parts is firstly knowing your value. So that whole reflection, like stretching your vision and putting that down on paper so you've got that starting point, and how you can help people. You know, what I said earlier around grow your brand, and that realization that it was actually all wrapped around this concept of love for yourself in nurturing and figuring out your own brand, like who you are, growing your brand, but also externally giving that. Sorry, one second.
Come back. Angela's having a cough moment.
That's blooper moment number one. So let me start that again. So there is the two parts in firstly knowing your value, how you help people, and amplifying that out into the world. And also the second part, which is actually how it is externally perceived, which is then the personal branding piece. And like we were discussing as we were preparing this episode, I really wanted to make sure that there was a clear distinction there, because it really is very distinct. And like personal branding is like a whole other topic and a whole world on its own in terms of how that's then allowing you to look the part. But in looking the part, you have to first know the part that you're playing. And one of our clients, she's a personal branding strategist, and she's absolutely brilliant at what she does. And that's where it also cemented for me so clearly what that distinction is. She talks about it in terms of, I love the way she described that distinction between those two parts, which is actually condensing versus amplifying. So when we leave that corporate world, like I said in the beginning, you have this transition where you're moving from realizing that you're actually a generalist because you've been through so many different steps in your career and you can actually do so many things and you have so much expertise and you can actually go out and apply for so many different kinds of jobs. It makes us highly employable in a career, but when it comes to positioning yourself as an expert, that becomes really hard. So what I mean by condensing is, again, like, what can you be famous for? You can be famous for so many things, but what are you going to be famous for? And should you be doing all of those things? So that's really the key question around this. Then once you've got that clarity, then it becomes a lot more powerful when it comes to the personal branding piece, which is then the amplification of that. How do you look the part once you know the part that you're looking to play for? So yeah, that's really the two things. And you know, Fenya, you were asking about what if you are still in a career? And I know that many of the listeners that are listening to this podcast are still at this moment in a career, and maybe they're thinking about transitioning, but you know, also looking at how can I better position my expertise. I would say that, you know, this is something that I would always recommend to start at any point in your career journey, whether it's still in the corporate career ladder, or it's, you know, in that transition phase, or it's actually, well, I mean, it's a definite must when you go into business, because then you really need to get known for something just to make a living out of it. But starting early is definitely something that is going to pay off definitely in monetization, whether it's increasing your value as someone who can be employed for a role, but also, you know, starting to, for yourself, gain that inner confidence and start to work on those pieces where you're walking in a room and you've got the job title and you've got, you know, this big project that you have to present, or like, you know, you're standing in front of a boardroom and all of this stuff, but secretly inside you're feeling a lot of doubt around what is the value that you can bring to the table. So starting work on figuring that piece out is definitely something that is going to add value, like no matter where you are in that journey. And again, you know, it depends on the goals and it depends on the phase that you're in. So if you're still in a career, a lot of that work is going to be geared towards helping you to find a better job, or if you're wanting to stay within your job. It may even help you to negotiate like a better salary, or like, you know, start to look at what that transition might look like. When you leave that, when you start to transition out of that world, and or even not, maybe it's something that you're doing alongside. Like I know a lot of people, they're looking at just creating their identity as an expert alongside, you know, they're happy with their job and they're happy with what they're doing, but they want to have this professional identity also outside of that. Maybe it's to get known as a speaker on their subject, or just, you know, start getting out there and creating a brand, write a book, you know, all of these things. I mean, Christina, you've been also a TED speaker as well. So in that case, it's then the goal is really geared around how do you get known? And again, condensing, what are you going to be famous for? What are you going to be known for? And finally, it starts to evolve beyond that into what is going to be the outcome and the result and the value that, well, the outcome and the result that you're going to get really, really good at in helping people to achieve. So that's kind of that final stage of distillation. So,
wow. Getting value from beautiful Angela and her deep expertise. And I loved what you said about condensing, like distilling the essence of the value you bring, but then the need to, once you understand who you are, to position that and amplify that so that people know what you can give for them. And the difference between how we try to be everything for everyone in the corporate world to prove our value, and how when it comes to actually choosing your path, your personal sometimes path, while still in transition, you need to really, you know, distill that and do less and less, but do it deeper and deeper in order for the expertise to shine through. Thank you. I love that. So you already explained one of my next questions, actually. What's the separation between like having your personal brand and, you know, kind of creating a company brand on top of that? Because when you become a business, then you need to create a corporate, not necessarily corporate, but company brand. You know, that first it seems to me then, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is a personal kind of branding yourself exercise that you go through in reflection, inspiration, and kind of setting your own path and the vision that you mentioned before. And then really being able to say, okay, well, now I'm a business too, and connecting that to it. But what's your opinion? And correct me, of course, if I'm wrong, if this is not the path, but what's your way of balancing, healthily balancing between the two? Because when you build a brand like Grow Your Brand with Impact, and you've got co-founder now, you've got, you know, team members now, and they are super experts in what they do, and they deliver different parts of the whole offering that you have compiled together. How do you still maintain you, but also, you know, merge with the rest of their skills and present yourself and amplify that into the world?
Yeah, that is such a great question. I love this, because this has been definitely also part. It's like this evolution journey doesn't stop. It's you reach one milestone, and then, you know, there's kind of that next stretch of growth. That's a very interesting dynamic that you're speaking about here. Like, what happens when you've left that collective identity where you were just a cog in the bigger machine, and you're trying to figure out what is your identity of you as a cog, and you're now a single cog and you're out in the world. But then you start building a company around it. You start, in my case, my business partner joined me, and we started to expand our team, and it starts to create this new machine. And what does then that thing look like? And how is that in relation to this identity that you've just discovered as you? So we've definitely transitioned through that. And I think it's very important to have that balance throughout. And again, you know, very often when we're going through our career, I definitely felt this. I used to work for literally one of the biggest companies in the world in terms of people, headcount. The last I checked online, they had about 500,000 people in terms of headcount. So who are you as a cog in a sea of like 500,000 people? And I mean, you can argue that in the business world, it's even bigger, right? Like, there's so many people out there that are doing what you do. And how do you stand out? So that balance is definitely something that never stops being relevant. I genuinely feel that it's really important that you as a personal, you as an individual, that you know your brand around you as a person, what is your expertise, what is your unique value, and that is going to amplify the overall value of the brand as a company. And I think just a bit of a story around that. When my business partner, Christina, joined me in the business, so obviously I was still very much the face of the brand, because in the beginning it was really just me. But it wasn't so much about, you know, her just being in the back kind of supporting the brand that was me. It was really about how do we amplify both of us as experts in terms of what we're now bringing as value collectively to our clients, that the people that we help. And we hear this back so often, like even just in a recent strategy session that we did with a client, and you know, they just in the middle of the session, they said, oh my God, I just have to tell you, like, this combination of the two of you, like, it's just so dynamic, because both of us were very different personalities. We're very different type of people. We bring very different backgrounds and expertise. And, you know, sometimes we challenge and bounce off each other, but mostly we've really found that complementary click in terms of what we see, what I see in a client versus what my business partner Christina sees. And collectively we've created that that company brand. And also, again, you know, you mentioned team. So our team has now streamlined quite a lot. We used to run a marketing agency for a few years, and now we're basically a much more tighter team of, you know, we've got still some support around, you know, that client success and different operational elements. But it's much more now focused on who are we as a company and how do we collectively bring all of the expertise in the brands. I mean, one of our core team members, she now also has her own company. She's transitioned from previously a full-time team member into an expert in client success. And that's actually become also part of our overall brand in what we talk about with clients. We say, look, we've got somebody who is really looking after this piece in particular. And, you know, it's important that they know that, because it shows our core values that we really care about your results. We care about your success. And we've actually invested in bringing in a third person to specifically look at that part. So that balance you speak of, the personal brand is very much mapped around, you know, this North Star and this constant evolution of your vision and, you know, that identity shift that you're going through as you grow as a person. But then that company brand, I would say, then becomes a collective of all of the personal brands that are then resting within. And the stronger those personal brands are, and obviously the company identity needs to also be strong as well to be able to contain that, all of the personalities. I mean, God, that's like power combination.
And multiple growth, that's for sure.
Like, absolutely.
Going different directions and being able to pull it together in the desired direction must be a challenge, but you presented it beautifully.
What advice do you have for someone that has created a business and brand around what they do and needs to monetize it quickly? And how do you help your clients do that exactly as an offer coach?
Yeah, sure. So I've spoken a lot during today's session around identity shifts, and it's because identity is firstly a big part of what we do in that process. And I think that's actually the core difference when you think about marketing, your traditional marketing versus what we are doing around the offer. And
it's okay.
We're so Angela,
to drink some tea or some water, guys.
Exactly.
Blooper number two to be edited.
I won't. We love the naturalness of it. So you were talking about identity shifts and the difference of what you do as opposed to another just marketing agency.
That's right. Though. Yes. And this really is something that we come across a lot. Quite often people think the offer, what I offer, is part of my marketing. It's just the last piece I need to do to pull something together and smack like a nice name around this package before I go into marketing. And I think the core difference is really the starting points. So, you know, anyone who's been in marketing and this is something that I've recently heard, is that starting point of any good sales and marketing process is all about volume. And that's very true, because you think about, you know, the funnel, essentially, like the funnel that you're taking people through, which is the journey that you're taking people through to get you from getting to know you, getting to trust you, and then ultimately deciding to buy from you. And not everybody is going to make it through all of those steps on the journey. Like, there's going to be people that are going to fall out, and that's essentially what is meant by the funnel. And that's why volume is such an important starting point when it comes to marketing. But the starting point around your offer is actually your identity. And that's really the depth that I think a lot of, you know, like companies that are doing the marketing and they piece the offer piece kind of in the beginning, that's where it sort of falls down, because it really isn't just something that you do together like really quickly in an hour and then just like shove it out there and then start running campaigns, essentially. Like, there is quite a lot of deep work in being able to do that identity work, then condense that, then figure that out, and then gain that confidence around it. So that's the first piece of what we do when we work with clients. And obviously their goal is to monetize quickly, but it's so important to do that foundation and groundwork up front, because that's going to pay off. It's going to make sure that when they go out into the market, that they don't feel this fear, this imposter syndrome, these doubts that can actually hold them back from taking the actions that they need to effectively grow. So identity shift is definitely a key one. Second one, we offer, of course, you know, that external support. I mentioned during one of your questions, Christina, earlier, that it's very hard to see that value for yourself and also to gain the confidence in it. And I think this is something which is throughout, you know, your career, but also very much in business. I always remember when I first got my leadership coach, and Fenya, you might relate to this because I know you're also a leadership coach, or both of you work with leaders as well. But I remember that first session I had where she said to me, she said, "I really feel like you have strong leadership skills. I see strong leadership skills in you." I was like, "Really?" You see, because when I started this session, I didn't know how to get the most out of it. I'm like, what is she going to help me with? Is she going to give me skills? Is she going to teach me how to sell more stuff? You know, that's what I had in my head. But sometimes I really believe that we all deeply desire for someone just to see us, for who we really are, because we feel like we can be more, and we have this, you know, this itch of like that feeling of untapped potential within us. But we just so strongly desire and wish that someone is going to be able to see us and help us to create that belief in ourselves. And that's the second piece, you know, creating that belief, that once you get that clarity in terms of who you are, but then also the confidence around it to be able to, you know, not just like put perfect branding and logos and pictures around it and so on, but feel that confidence internally from within to be able to show up. And then, you know, we help them to create and also stretch that vision, and then give them the tools and also the tactics. So my background is in marketing, offer consulting, and also marketing. And Christina comes in from a commercialization and sales perspective. So both of us have been pretty much doing that for our entire careers up until now. And what we have collectively then done is that, combined with, you know, the experience that we've gained in running campaigns during our marketing agency days. So we ran a marketing agency for 3 years. We then are able to equip them with the tools and the tactics to actually translate that into a process to put out into the world.
Yes. Yes. I think this is the last question, isn't it?
Yes.
So I love how I'm reflecting first in the fact that you need to have your own identity first, but you need to be validated. And I think you often mention in your marketing about validating that offer. And now I can see how the community part and the coaching part allows people to get that validation and belonging and sharing and kind of being real and owning themselves within a small microcosm initially, and then getting out into the world and sharing their message and their vision into the world. And I would like to close this podcast episode by asking for your advice. If someone wants to position themselves and get known for what they're brilliant at, and start seeing the results of what they can offer and the value that they can bring to the world, basically the impact they can create, what would you advise them? What would you give them as a kind of little push to get them to follow that path that they have already? Probably if they're listening to the end of this podcast, they will know that this is the path they need to follow. What would you give them as a final piece of advice to tip them over and get them to start this journey that has been bubbling within them?
Yeah, so I think firstly, being clear on the result that they want, being clear on the result they want out of all this is really crucial. I mentioned before around, you know, that support ecosystem, whether that's going to be through community or it's going to be through a mentor or someone to help you, help guide you through that process. But it's really crucial, I would say, to make sure that you've got someone on your side. You've got someone on your side who you trust, who you know that they get you, and who can actually see your brilliance, because quite often we just, again, like we can't see that brilliance for ourselves. If I could just really give one thing around this, and I spoke about this at length in talking about like figuring out your value and starting that process early, like even if you are currently still in a career, and even if you're not ever thinking about leaving your career again, I never thought about leaving my career, but I definitely really could have benefited now in hindsight in taking the soul searching moment during my career to think about this. Like now I think back at my career and I just think, oh man, if I really knew this, it would have just given me so much more confidence and credibility. And like, you know, I wouldn't be feeling anxious when I'm like negotiating a salary increase and different bits and pieces. I would know my value as a person. Is to start thinking about that, like what sort of a thing can you anchor your vision around, like you as a person, like who are you and where do you ultimately want to go? I think sometimes when we feel these inner doubts, it's often because we're just not allowing ourselves to think big enough, where we're locked into the frame of just where we are today. But when you start to take that out, so again, when I spoke about, you know, this word impact, like impact for me always meant both in my personal life, what impact can I make in my personal life? That means my growth as a person. What impact can I make in my career and business? And what impact can I make out in the world, like in society? So when you start, I think, to take yourself outside of yourself and start to think about that, how that amplifies into the world, it then starts to get you thinking bigger and you stop fixating on all of these little doubts and nagging voices and stuff that's holding you back. So the best way I would say to start that process is to start working on a personal vision statement. And that is one big part of the identity shift work that we do in the very beginning when we start working with people. So what this means is, you know, creating a statement that is going to summarize like the vision of what you're looking to create. I don't think it's necessarily the same as, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really know, but for me, the vision statement is really about that impact that you're looking to create in the world. And there's going to be nuances there. You're looking for certain words. Like for me, the word grow and the word impact was really important. That's why they filtered into my brand name. And why, if any brand agency ever suggests we change the name, we were going to say no, because it's such a core part of the heart and soul of this. So looking for the words, like what are those crucial words, those keywords that need to be in there? What's the energy those words need to convey? Like it's a very different, you know, meaning that comes up or emotion that it elicits when you think about the word grow or you think about the word drive or like guide or, you know, all of empower, you know, all of these, they bring a different sort of emotional energy around it. And start to craft your personal vision that creates that emotional feeling for you.
Fantastic.
So much. Wow. I feel so much wiser. Yeah. And I love how you helped us kind of focus on a deliverable which is the personal vision, the outcome, the result that we're looking to achieve, and then also the lack of kind of hesitation to ask for help, like having somebody to guide us. And, you know, I see that as I translate that as a mentor, as a coach, as somebody who has done this before, a friend perhaps who is quite experienced in that, or joining a community, a network that, you know, people there can be supportive and listen to us, but also validate some of our questions, doubts, and help us rise up to the path that we have ahead of us. Thank you so much, Angela, for sharing all this knowledge, wisdom, and hard-earned experience, actually, through not a very easy path, an accidental path, which is for another conversation, I think. Fenya, any words from you in terms of your reflections of what Angela shared with us today?
Just, I want to say thank you, Angela, for sharing your own story, for being authentic and giving us all this important knowledge and tips and steps to create our own brand and become the expertise in our lives and careers as well. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if so, please rate it on iTunes or Spotify. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. Take good care. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This was the Career Mindset Podcast with Fenya and Christina, the duet that is helping you thrive in your career and live a greater life.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if so, please rate it on iTunes. Feel free to ask us any questions you have or topics you want to discuss. We'd love you to connect with us at LaRoute Coaching and Eudaimonia Coaching UK on social media. Check our podcast description for our details, and we hope to see you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.